Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. This is the Inside segment. I'm Harold Fisher. It has been a very rough 9 days of the heat wave, penetrating temperatures above 90 degrees, stifling humidity, and searing sunshine was really quite difficult to endure. While most of us were concerned about finding a cool air-conditioned building, few of us were actually thinking about how this severe summer weather affected the body's largest organ, our skin. On this Medical Monday, we talk about the dangers of not taking care of your skin this summer and what you need to do right now. My guest is Dr. Jeanette Okoye, chair of the Howard University Hospital Department of Dermatology. And we are talking about this tonight. Time to give us a call with your comments or questions. The lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisher, WHUR, or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Dr. Okoye, thanks for coming back to the program.
Hi, good evening. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's first talk a little bit about the weather. And from your perspective, I would imagine that a lot of people, particularly people of color, are not really concerned about how this weather is impacting their skin? Or do you really have people who are saying, hey, it's hot outside, it's humid, it's the sun is out, and they realize that this could be an issue?
Yeah, you know, we're having a lot of people coming in talking about the effects of the heat on their skin, talking about the effects of the sunlight on their skin as well. So, you know us, we're always concerned about how we look and how our skin looks, so business is moving.
So how does this weather impact the skin? Is it just the sunlight and ultraviolet rays, or does the actual heat and the humidity impact?
Well, you know, the heat and humidity impact our skin in some indirect ways. So one direct way that humidity impacts your skin is it makes you sweat more. And so the folds of your body, they get moist, they kind of hold on to the fluid, and yeast like to hang out in moist parts of the body. So we see people coming in with more yeast infections under the arms, in the groin, under the breast, etc. So that's something we tell folks to look out for. And some indirect ways that the heat and humidity can affect your skin is we tend to shower more, and we tend to use soaps that are more drying because, you know, you're hot, you're sweaty, you feel grimy. You want to use a soap that gives you that squeaky clean feeling.
Right.
Well, those squeaky clean soaps can really dry your skin quite a bit. And so it's also hot and you're sweaty and you don't really want to wear a moisturizer. So we actually find people coming in with dry skin, even though it's hot and humid outside.
Really? That seems to be so counterintuitive. Yes. If you are outside and you're feeling sweaty and clammy and... I wouldn't think that dry skin would be an issue. Are there other issues that contribute to dry skin other than drying soaps?
Yeah, you know, I think one way to think about the skin is to think of it like a brick wall where the skin cells are the bricks and the mortar that holds the bricks together, those are your natural skin oils. And so what happens is anything that disrupts that brick wall, that disrupts that barrier, can really impact your skin in the long term. And so the harsh soaps can do that. Lack of moisturizers can do that. And certainly things like eczema, which is really prevalent in our community, that by definition disrupts your skin barrier and makes it easier for you to get rashes and itching and so on.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about how the severe summer weather impacts your skin, what you need to do to protect your skin during these hazy, hot, humid, bright, sunny days. The doctor is in. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call. Of course, as always, we will be keeping the lines open until almost 8 o'clock. So if you have a comment or question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Okay. So the thing that people are most, I would say, knowledgeable about is the sunshine, but not so much the sunshine, but the ultraviolet rays, correct?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So talk to me about that.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I'm a little ambivalent about sun protection and sunscreen, and you won't hear many dermatologists say this. Now, don't get me wrong, protecting your skin from the sun is important, but let me play devil's advocate for a little bit.
Okay.
For most Black people, the danger of excessive sun exposure is not really skin cancer. The issue for us is it can cause premature aging of the skin. So over time, if you get more sun exposure, you're more likely to get wrinkles and age spots and so on. It can also cause uneven pigmentation and discoloration of your skin. So for example, if you had an acne breakout and you had a dark mark that was left behind, sun exposure can worsen that and it can make it last longer. But sun exposure really only becomes dangerous for Black people if you have a history of getting sunburned. So regardless of your race, if your skin has ever become red, painful, itchy, or blistered after you spent a long time in the sun, then you should use sunscreen because your risk of sunburning is directly related to your risk of skin cancer.
Mm-hmm. What kind of sunscreen should we use? There's always that difficult conversation about SPF and the numbers and everything else. How do you choose a sunscreen? Scented, unscented, spray, lotion, what? Give me the rundown on that.
We always say the best sunscreen is the one you actually use. So if you like sprays, use that. If you like creams, use that. But some rules to follow, SPF 30 or above is usually adequate. You can get even SPF 100 now, but after about 45, it starts evening out to about the same. So anything above 30 is good. For sunscreen to continue to be effective, you have to reapply it every 2 to 3 hours. And you have to reapply it after swimming or sweating profusely, which many people don't do. So after a couple of hours, the sunscreen effect is pretty much gone.
Hmm.
And then there are two types of sunscreens you can choose from. One is called chemical sunscreens, and the other is called physical sunscreens. So your chemical sunscreens are, you know, your regular sunscreens. You'll find them, many of them, over the counter. There's been a little bit of controversy recently about the safety of this type of sunscreen, where people are concerned that it's getting absorbed into the body and they're not sure what effects that's having. That's under investigation and it's likely fine. But then the second type of sunscreen, a physical sunscreen, that's made from very specific ingredients called zinc oxide or titanium dioxide. And these molecules do not absorb into the skin. They just lay on top of the skin and provide physical sun protection. Hmm. And another way to get sun protection that doesn't involve sunscreens is hats, umbrellas. Long sleeve, like a nice long sleeve linen shirt in the summer will give you great sun protection because you're creating a barrier between yourself and the sun.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. It's a Medical Monday conversation. We are talking about protecting the skin that you are in, how to make sure that your skin is as healthy as it can be during the severe summer weather. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. So I've got a message from Nikki, and she says, as a person who suffers with eczema and dry skin, the humidity is actually the best thing that's ever happened to me. That's why she loves the summer. It really helps to moisturize her skin, and she doesn't have eczema during the summer, only in the winter. Talk to me about what Nikki is sharing with us.
So thank you, Nikki, for sharing that. That's actually true for a lot of people with eczema. They get a little bit of a reprieve during the summer. As I mentioned, people with eczema have a barrier. Their skin barrier isn't working as well. And so they tend to dry out easier. And then when their skin gets dry, they get even more itchy and their eczema gets worse. So sure, the humidity can help if they're not using harsh soap. So it sounds like Nikki does all of her good eczema skincare and gets the benefit from the summer. I do have patients, though, who flare. Their eczema flares in the summer. For them, the sweating and the heat and the humidity actually worsens their eczema.
Hmm.
But on that point, I think, you know, the sun is an interesting thing. It is not all bad. So in dermatology, we actually harness the power of the sun to treat diseases like eczema, psoriasis, vitiligo. Patients actually come to our office and we put them in a device that gives them measured doses of sunlight to help treat these very disorders. So it's an interesting thing. Like everything else, you want it in moderation.
Yeah. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about making sure your skin is safe during the severe summer weather. Let's go to Sean calling from Clinton, Maryland. Sean, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Thank you. It seems that my skin is getting more sensitive as I get older, as if it's peeling and I don't even have to be in a sun log.
How old are you, Sean?
I'm 55.
Okay. Tell me a little bit more. Tell the doctor a little bit more about what you're feeling.
Does your age affect how your body, how your skin, responds to it? I've noticed it this year versus last year. I like to sit in outside on my deck, not long, probably about anywhere from an hour or so. Such as in the 90-degree weather, sun in and out of the clouds, but is definitely glaring under an umbrella on my patio or my deck. So, but I've noticed that I get a little light, white peeling. Not a terrible peeling, just little, almost like ashy, but I know I've been moisturized.
Okay. Thank you, Sean, for sharing that. You know, there are a couple things that come to mind there. One is, as we get older, we tend to take more medications, and some medications can make you more sensitive to sunlight. Some antibiotics do that, blood pressure medicines do that, and also some herbal preparations. So St. John's wort, which is a tea that you can brew to help with mood and so on, that can make you sensitive to the sun. So I would definitely talk to your doctor about which medications you're on and see if one of them might be increasing your sensitivity. The other thing is, compared to, I would say, 20 years ago, it seems to me that maybe our ultraviolet rays are a little bit stronger. So that could be part of it too. It may be an environmental issue and not necessarily your skin. And then the third thing that's a little bit less well known is, as we get older, our pigment dilutes, meaning you actually get a little lighter with age. And so if your pigment is light, then you're probably getting less natural sun protection from your own skin.
Hmm.
I hope that helps.
Yeah, it does. Thank you.
Sean, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are having a Medical Monday conversation as we talk about the dangers of the severe summer weather and the impact on your largest organ on your body, your skin. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call. So I want to go back to some of the things that you've already, discussed about, for example, yeast infections within the, I guess, cracks and crevices of the skin. Is that, does it matter whether we're talking about people who may be heavier as opposed to thinner, or does it not matter? And what would you suggest to prevent that from from happening?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. It is more likely to happen the more folds you have.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it is more common in people who are heavier, but I certainly have patients who are quite thin who still get this irritation in the folds. And so one way to help is at the end of your shower, let's say first thing in the morning, you make sure that you at least start the day with those areas completely dry. It's really easy to jump out of the shower, put on your lotion, put your clothes on and go, and you actually never dry those areas properly. So that's one place to start. And some patients really like applying a cornstarch-based powder, like an over-the-counter powder in those areas. Some patients don't like it at all because the powder sort of ends up making a paste once they start sweating.
Really? Oh, gosh. Yeah, yeast and cornstarch. That sounds like something in the kitchen. We don't want to deal with that. Yeah.
So another tip is if you can get a piece of cloth, and the cloth that's best is not cotton, because cotton absorbs sweat and it stays wet. It doesn't dry out nicely. But there are now T-shirts and underwear that are made from this stay-dry material. You know,
that wicking kind of? Yeah,
exactly. If you can get, a big T-shirt in this material and you cut it up in strips, you can lay that under the fold, wherever the fold that's bothering you is, and that will wick away moisture throughout the day, and it really, really helps.
Mm, interesting. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're going to talk to Sid calling from Virginia in just a bit. So, Sid, please do not hang up. You will be able to hear the program. We're going to take a break, but don't forget, you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment via podcast on WHUR.com, or you can download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear the program live in its entirety. If you're on the phone, stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141 and 96.3 HD2. I'm Harold Fisher. Stretches in for John Mons and the original Quiet Storm. That's on WHUR. We'll be back in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. On this Medical Monday, we are talking about the dangers of not taking care of your skin this summer and what you need to do right now. My guest is Dr. Jeanette Okoye. She is the chair of the Howard University Hospital Department of Dermatology. Lines are open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Sid, calling from Virginia. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, thank you for taking my call, Harold.
Sure.
I want to mention one other area. I know you're talking about the skin, but I know, like, my optometrist had told me about the sun rays. It doesn't have to be direct sunlight, as I'm sure Dr. Okoye would agree that on your eyelid, you know, the white part, when over time it gets yellow, and then eventually it develops into, like, a cataract, you know, like, cataract obviously happens with age, but at the same time, I mean, it could, you know, damage your eye. You know, we don't think about our eyes is what I was trying to say. And then it gets yellow and then gets cataract. So she was, my optometrist told me that, and I didn't know that. I never used to wear, like, sunglasses all the time. And, you know, you don't have to have, like, a direct sunlight in your face. You know, it could be just, you know, sun out, you know, sunny outside. But, that could also be something that, I mean, you know, besides the lotion on for your skin, maybe sunglasses for your eyes, too. But while you're protecting your skin, you may want to also think about your eyes. That's all I was trying to say.
Okay. Dr. Okoye, any thoughts about what Sid was sharing with us?
Yeah, no, I think that's a really important point, Sid. Thank you for bringing it up. It's true. Excessive sun exposure over time does hasten cataracts and can cause some other problems with the eyes as well. So that's a great point. The lips are another area that we don't often think about. So getting a lip gloss that has a little SPF will give your lips some extra protection. And as you talked about indirect sunlight, it also brought to mind another place where we get extra sunlight. If you're on the beach, you're getting sun exposure from the sky, but the sun is also reflecting off the sand, onto you. So you're getting sort of a double whammy. This happens when you're in snow as well. So great point. Thank you for bringing it up.
Sid, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Renee, calling from Clinton. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. I was calling regarding a condition I have. I think it's called urticaria. Something like that. But when my body overheats, I break out in like a rash and hives. And immediately, like if I'm at the gym, I can like get in the car and turn on the air conditioning and I can just watch the hives and everything go away. It started like 5 years ago when I was like 45. And I noticed if I take an antihistamine every single day, you know, it doesn't affect me as much. But of course, taking Zyrtec so much, my body becomes kind of immune to it. So I have to flip-flop between Zyrtec and Claritin. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I'm just kind of curious, is there anything else to remedy?
Oh, I'm sorry you're dealing with this. So yes, it's called urticaria, and it's basically hives. It's almost like your immune system is overreacting to something, and we don't know what that something is. For you, clearly, heat is your trigger. There are a couple things you could do. I think you're already doing the right thing with alternating your antihistamines. I would alternate between the three big ones, so Allegra, Zyrtec, Claritin. And you could try, when you're exercising or you know you're going to be in a hot environment, trying to put cooling or ice packs in certain parts of your body, like the underarms, sort of the pulse points, just to cool your core body temperature down faster. That might help. And also, it might be worth seeing an allergist, because there are two relatively new medications out there for urticaria that you may be able to take in a less frequent way than the antihistamines.
Okay. Renee, good luck to you. Thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Janine calling from District Heights. Janine, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. So my face has been breaking out lately. I normally wash my face with warm water, and then I dry it with a clean paper towel. Lately, that has not been working as well. I feel like a teenager again. I am literally breaking out. And I was just wondering if there were options, maybe some natural options to help clean my face and maybe minimize all the acne that's going on. I don't buy over-the-counter stuff only because I'm scared it's going to dry my face out too much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for calling in. Now, this is certainly worth taking a look at in the office, but often when we hear adults having acne, it's usually hormonal. And so, you know, we would bring you in and have a conversation about some of your triggers, when and where you've had acne in the past, but it's often hormonal. And there are medications now, both creams and medications by mouth, that target specifically hormonal acne.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. In terms of, you asked about natural remedies, so we could talk about that a little. In terms of natural remedies, you know, I love aloe. I think aloe, the real stuff now, not the stuff you get in a bottle, but if you go to an international store and you buy the aloe plant, you cut it, the slimy stuff, you can use it as a face mask. It's very soothing. It doesn't have anti-acne properties per se, but it is very soothing to the skin and may help calm some of the inflammation. Some people swear by African black soap. Again, the real stuff, not the stuff you find in Target, but the stuff in the international store. It has antibacterial properties and anti-inflammatory properties as well. It can be very drying, though, so you want to be careful with that. But those are two natural remedies that I think could help give you a start.
Okay. I'll give those a try.
Janine, thank you so much for your phone call. Good luck to you. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Deborah calling from Silver Spring. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Turn your radio down for me if you don't mind.
Okay. I have mole freckles, freckle moles on my face. And I was told that they have roots and there's nothing I can do about them. But they're growing and spreading, and they're kind of flat, but they're black, brown, and red freckle moles. And mm-hmm. I have them all over my body.
Well, ma'am, we are mole experts at Howard University. We know how to treat those. One option for treatment, of course, this is depending on the type of mole you have, but the type I think you have are the flat ones that many of us brown people get over time. And what we can do with those is we numb it up, basically scrape it off with either a special tool or a device that gives off a little bit of heat. And then in a couple of weeks, you know, you have a little healing period, and in a couple of weeks, your skin looks much, much better. The only problem with this treatment is insurance companies don't cover it because they consider it to be cosmetic. I mean, we disagree, but fortunately, it's not covered.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Deborah. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Before I go back to the phone lines, there is something that I did want to ask, and it's really kind of a very simple question, but it may have a lot of tendrils attached. You know, we hear in pop culture so much talk about people of color and melanin. What is melanin, and is the amount of melanin that you have in your skin directly related to your skin shade, light to dark?
Yes, absolutely. Talking my language, I love the science of brown skin. That's what I live for. So yes, melanin is a pigment that exists in everyone. Right. So whether you're white, black, brown, you have melanin. It's just how much melanin you have that determines how deep your pigmentation is. And what's great about melanin, there are actually two types of melanin. There's the brown melanin, which we think about all the time. And then there's something called pheomelanin, which is red. So people with red hair have pheomelanin, but everybody else has the regular melanin. Now, what happens is, in your cells, melanin basically creates almost like a hat or an umbrella over your DNA in your cell. So it is literally protecting your DNA from damage from the sun. And so the more melanin you have, and the more of it you have in all the layers of your skin. So black people, generally, we have melanin throughout the entire skin, top to bottom, whereas white people tend to have melanin more at the bottom layers and not throughout. So the more melanin you have, the more it's scattered throughout your epidermis, and the more of them that are capping your DNA, the more protection you have from the sun and from skin cancer. It's an amazing molecule.
Leroy, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Leroy. What's on your mind?
Yes, I have a question.
Sure.
What is the best time of the day to avoid the sun?
Oh, great question, Leroy. 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. is when the sun's rays are at its strongest.
10 a.m. to 4 p.m. daylight saving time. So what is the Eastern Standard Time it will be?
Same.
You say
he said daylight saving time, but Eastern Standard Time. Well, you know, we don't have daylight saving time anymore, but...
Right, but... If it do occur, it will be from 9 until 3 p.m.?
I guess so. I think there's a little bit of margin for error there. So I would say 9 to 10 to 3 to 4.
Okay.
So early morning and late evening, the sun's rays are lower in the sky, and so they're safer.
That's a curious question, Leroy. Why do you ask?
Because right now we're on daylight saving time. So I just want to make sure that that's included from 10 a.m. until 4 p.m. daylight saving time.
Okay. Well, Leroy, thank you so much for your question. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Okay, so one of the things that I've kind of noticed, and this actually happened to me, this was years ago. So I'm bald, but I'm not naturally bald. I shave my head, and that's a fashion statement that a lot of men make because it's just easier than going to the barbershop, and that's another show. But one of the things that I remember, when I was in the Caribbean, this was years ago, and I may have had a hat on, I don't remember, but I was underneath, I was relaxing, I was underneath a palm tree, I was at the beach, and then I went to go get, one of those beach massages, and when I got out from under the tree, and I remember the sun hit my head, I could actually feel, almost instantaneous.
Yeah.
My scalp began to tingle, and I'm assuming that was the beginning of a burn. You spoke about environmental situations. I would say, well, in the Caribbean, there's less smog, there's less pollution, and I would imagine that allows ultraviolet rays to be more intense than they would, say, in a city like D.C.
Yeah, and also you're closer to the equator, so the sun is physically closer.
Mm. Mm-hmm. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, but that sounds like a great vacation.
Yeah.
Don't get
it was okay. yeah. Well, and I do remember slapping my hat on my head, and literally within 24 hours, I did feel some peeling. Okay, so what is the best way to treat a sunburn?
Mm-hmm. So one really old school way that still works is aloe vera. So I talked about aloe a minute ago with one of our callers. Of course, the natural aloe from the plant is great, but if you can't get your hands on that, the aloe in a bottle over the counter actually works quite well for sunburns. For one thing, they usually put it in a gel, and the gels have a cooling sensation that just makes your skin feel a lot better. I think it's important to moisturize while your skin is sort of turning itself over and refreshing itself. And something that I think people don't think about, when you have a sunburn, you've disrupted that barrier that I talked about in the beginning. And so you're going to lose water. You're going to lose more water from your skin to the air. So you want to make sure you're keeping hydrated and, again, putting a moisturizer on to trap that moisture in your skin. Mm.
This is pool party season. What is the best way to protect yourself before you get to the pool party?
Well, you're going to hear me talking about this barrier all the time. I'm obsessed with it because it's the start of healthy skin. And so for me, with a pool, that chlorinated water can be drying to your skin. So you want to apply a moisturizer before you go to the pool. And then once you're finished, make sure you rinse that chlorinated water off. Use a gentle cleanser and then moisturize again. I think that's the most important message. And then if you're at the poolside, that means you're probably going to be out in the sun for a longer time than you would if you're just walking from your car to the supermarket. So especially if you've ever had a sunburn, that's a time when you want to apply sunscreen basically head to toe, anywhere that's going to be exposed to the sun. And remember, if you swim, when you get out, that sunscreen's gone. So you have to reapply it.
Mm. How frequently, even if you don't swim, how frequently should you apply sunscreen?
Every 2 to 3 hours.
Every 2 to 3 hours, okay. Let's talk a little bit about, and I want to continue to talk about protections, but I don't want to forget this, and you were talking about soaps, and I agree, when you have, certain soaps, whether it's Dial or Safeguard or something like that, even in some of those stronger soaps that are designed to curtail, you know, odor, but as you said, they have drying properties. So what kind of soap would you suggest?
Mm-hmm.
For, and because, you know, guys, you know, women are concerned obviously about soft skin. I think men probably less so.
Mm-hmm.
But to protect their skin, particularly guys who work outside or work outside in their own yard or mm-hmm. spend time outside, what kind of soap would you recommend for them?
So I really like a couple of soaps. One is Dove soap, and the other is there's this brand called Dr. Bronner's Castile soap. Now, y'all don't go out there and buy it all, so I can't get any. Okay? But what's nice about Dove soap is it actually has lotion in it. So what it does is this really interesting science. You apply the soap, and the soap and the lotion goes on your skin, and the soap strips the lotion from itself instead of stripping the oils from your skin. So you're still getting clean, but it's not making you dry. So I like that very much. And then the Dr. Bronner's Castile soap, it doesn't have anything else in it. It's really a very gentle soap with very little fragrance or anything like that. And I find for people who want a little more of that, like anti-odor action, anti-oil action, the Dr. Bronner's does a better job of that without drying the skin.
What about the liquid soaps that are so mm-hmm. popular and pound for pound more expensive that are seen in just about, you know, every drugstore, grocery store?
Yeah. I think it's really a preference thing. I think the bar soaps are generally just as good as the body washes, as long as they still have those properties we talked about. Mm-hmm. Just about preference.
I mentioned guys before, and do beards protect the skin, and is there something that men need to do to protect their beards if they're going to be out, protect them from the sun?
So the beard itself is actually a great sun protector, because the skin is the hairs there are generally quite thick. They give a lot of coverage to the skin. So really, if you're applying sunscreen to your face and you have a beard, you really only need to apply the sunscreen above and below the beard line. But I will say, if you shave your beard in the middle of summer, then expect the skin under that beard to, one, be a little lighter, and two, be a little more sensitive to the sun than the rest of your skin, because the rest of your skin has had time to acclimate to that sun exposure, and the skin under the beard has not.
Mm-hmm. Are freckles bad?
It depends. There are different types of freckles, but in general, if you have freckles, that tells me as a dermatologist that you have sun damage. So yes, I think freckles are generally bad. But often when people come to see us and they're talking about freckles, they're actually talking about other things. So, you know, it's a hard one for me to answer.
So because this is why I ask, and this goes back also to some of the ways in which I think over the many decades, and I'm speaking specifically about, you know, black women, where I remember when I was a kid and there were lighter-skinned girls who may have had freckles. They didn't like them. But now I think for a lot of black women who are of a fairer hue and they may have some freckles, they consider them beauty marks. Are there some freckles that come that are inherited and not as a result of skin damage?
Yes. Now, this is more rare. Most freckles are from sun exposure / sun damage.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a type of freckling that you see sometimes in lighter-skinned black people where it's the central face.
Right.
It's most of the face involved. And that's inherited. And that has nothing to do with the sun.
I see. Mm-hmm. When you look for skin cancer, and there is something that may be troubling someone, what do you, first of all, how do you look at damage to the skin? And talk to me about the process when you determine that something is malignant or benign.
Sure. So, you know, the first thing I think it's important to talk about is skin cancer in Black people generally presents very differently than it does in white people. So in white people, we're taught to look for moles that change color, shape, size, bleed, etc., on the, especially the sun-exposed parts of the body. But in Black people, when we get skin cancer, which isn't often, but when we do, it's not in the sun-exposed areas. It's in the palms, the soles, under the fingernails, areas that you're not thinking about for skin cancer because they're not out in the sun. And so when we do a skin check for skin cancer in a Black person, we try to look specifically in those areas, and even the genitals inside the mouth, so that we can find skin cancers in these regions. If we find a suspicious lesion, we'll do what's called a biopsy, where we numb up the skin around the spot, we remove that piece of skin, and we send it to the lab. And the lab looks at it under a microscope, and they come back and tell us, is it skin cancer or not? If it is, there are three types of skin cancer. Basal cell and squamous cell cancers, they are generally curative by surgery. Skin cancer surgery, most times you're awake, you know, it's not big surgery. You just need to remove the cancer and you need to remove some normal skin around it, assuming you caught it early. Okay. The third type of cancer, melanoma, that one is more serious and requires bigger surgery and sometimes chemotherapy. So that's the procedure.
I see. We've spoken a lot about protecting the skin from the outside, but what about the inside? Are there vitamins that can be taken to help protect the skin from sun exposure?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. Now, I would preface this by saying you should definitely talk to your doctor before you embark on any supplement regimen, because sometimes supplements can interact with your medicines, or they can even cause sun damage themselves. So definitely talk to your doctor. I would say first thing, if you avoid the sun a lot or you wear sunscreen all the time, ask your doctor to check your vitamin D level, because we need sunlight to create vitamin D in the skin. So if you're avoiding it all the time, you may be deficient. And if you're deficient, go ahead and take a vitamin D supplement. And then there are vitamins that you can apply to the skin to help it. So vitamin C, you can apply a vitamin C serum to your face as a nice antioxidant. And we generally recommend this in the morning. It helps kind of soak up free radicals that might occur during the day. There's a vitamin B called niacinamide. Look for moisturizers that have niacinamide as an ingredient. That's really been proven to help the health of the skin. And then a third vitamin is vitamin A. So there are vitamin A creams. We call them retinols or retinoids. And they're excellent for anti-aging. And so we recommend that you use those at night, because the sun will inactivate that cream. It won't work. So use it at bedtime. And it can help stave off skin aging, wrinkles. It can help even out pigmentation on the skin as well. Mm.
Again, a question that would mostly be a consideration for women. Makeup during this weather. Certainly, I would imagine that, you know, there are a lot of women who just don't want to put on makeup in this weather. But then some, but for others, it is just part of their daily grooming. Mm-hmm. Suggestions about how to manage makeup and the kind of severe weather that we've had.
Yeah, I think if makeup is something important to you, then I would recommend just scaling it back a little bit when things get this hot. So, for example, there are products called BB creams. Now, I might be a little on the older side, so there may be a newer name for this, but a BB cream is basically a light foundation cream that has sunscreen in it. And so what's nice about a BB cream is you don't have to put on a moisturizer, sunscreen, and foundation. You just put this one product on, and it contains all of those things. It does this sort of blurring effect and can give you this nice matte look throughout the day, and it's easy to reapply if you need it to do so. So I would just say scale it back if you can, or wait till you get to where you're going to put the makeup on so you can wipe the sweat off and start with a fresh, you know, palette.
We always hear about hydrating in weather like this just to make sure that we don't have any, you know, heat stroke or any other kinds of issues. But does the hydrating issue also apply to the health of the skin during the severe summer weather?
Yes, yes, for sure. So, you know, your skin is really a window to the rest of your health status. So if you're overall hydrated, your skin will glow and it'll be plump and you'll look refreshed. But if you're dehydrated, your skin will, you'll have maybe more wrinkles, more lines visible. You won't look as fresh and as, you know, vibrant. So I think it's important to hydrate from the inside, but then it's also important to hydrate from the outside with your skin. So we're back to not drying your skin out with harsh soaps and applying moisturizers, even when you really don't want to because you're sweaty.
Dr. Jeanette Okoye, thank you so much for talking to us and helping us to get through the heat wave. Actually, the heat wave is going to be over at least for this this week. Yes, thankfully. We're going to have temperatures in the upper 70s and mid-80s. Tomorrow won't be as humid. But, of course, the sun will still be out, and so will those ultraviolet rays. So make sure you protect your skin. Dr. Okoye, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
That is the Daily Drum for this Monday, July 25th. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.